certainly acknowledge that we are earthen vessels. I'll never tell you that I do everything perfectly. And I would tell you that everything that we would try to present to you out of the Scripture, and sometimes it's impossible when you present the Scripture not to have some that you expound, that you give some of your insight, what you would consider your insight, into and give it out to the congregation. But I want to tell you that everything that you hear me say, take it to the Lord yourself. Go to the Lord, to the Scripture, and weigh it, because I don't want to be responsible for pointing you the wrong direction. So check it by the Lord. I'm human. But I tell you this morning that with all my heart, I love the Lord. That doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't correct His children, because He does. And I'm so grateful this morning that each one of us individually, this isn't just we come here and we don't come in here and just do in church. We each one come and present ourselves before the Lord. And we share in this together. Back in the Sunday school room this morning, we had a real good time of just discussing. We bring out points in the Scripture, and it was just one of those times when we were just discussing the Scripture, and it was so good. And I want us all to develop this type of openness in our heart. The Lord, I'm bare before You today, and teach me of Your ways. Help me to understand. When I read the Scripture, I want to know what that means to me today. Not just what it said back 1,000 years ago or so, or more. It was more. 2,000 years ago is when the New Testament. But there was Scripture that was written before that, accounts that happened many years before that. All of it is good for us. But when we look at the Scripture and what God was wanting to do with humanity, He points us to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It came down through history. I know there was interaction that God had with people way before Jesus Christ. And people were accepted before the Lord way before Jesus Christ. Enoch walked with God. He was a friend of God. He walked with Him daily. I don't know how all that... But in our day, we realize that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And so much pointed, especially in the law system, it pointed toward this culmination of the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. And so today we want to look into some of the Scripture. This is Isaiah. Isaiah, the 35th chapter. And if I was going to try to title this, I was thinking about that this morning, yesterday actually, and thought, this is a wonderful chapter. I love it. What would be the central focus of what we want to present here today? And part of it, we're looking at Isaiah's prophetic view of the gospel day. I think that from a distance, he was looking down through the annals of time. So as we read this chapter, the prophet is seeing something, sometimes through a hazy view, but enough to speak about it. There's something down there. There's something that's precious down there. Did y'all see the Northern Lights the other day? Did y'all see any of you? What was it? Was that Tuesday night? What? I don't remember. This last week. And you could look off. We could look off to the north. I was in Kansas during that time, and I was out there in the country. We didn't have all these lights around, and I could look off to the north. You'd see first it was maybe a little dot of pink or red colors and a green patch over here, and then it would grow brighter and sometimes just brighten up, and you And I thought, how that's a little bit like probably the prophets. They saw something, a dim haze, and then it would brighten up, and for a while they would write down or speak out what they were seeing. Seeing something down there that was so glorious. And I want to tell you, I was thrilled to see that. I thought of my God when I saw that. Oh, what grandeur that the Lord has created. And led us in to seeing some of His beauty. I love it. But this, I think Isaiah was seeing something here. So we want to look over here into the 35th chapter of Isaiah. I'm going to start reading here with the first verse. As Isaiah was seeing this picture, this view of what was out there in the future, he would use kind of some prophetic language or some descriptive language about what he's seeing and what he's perceiving. He says, "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad." And it says, "for them." I think what he's talking about here, if you're going to add that for some of the old manuscripts really didn't add this "for them" in there, but it's okay to put it. It's okay. For them, I think he's talking about this. What was it that happened when Jesus came to this world? You know, he was prophesied as being Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. This was the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And during this time of God pouring out Himself toward humanity, that was a tremendous time when Jesus came and lived before us in a godly, righteous way and taught people with compassion. You notice how at one point He saw the children of Israel out there and scattered upon this mountainside, and said His heart went out to them because He saw them as sheep scattered without a shepherd. And His heart went out to them, and He came and He called them and He began to teach. Why? Because He loved. He hasn't changed. Today, when He looks at you and I in our sometimes chaotic moments of life, not knowing which way to go, the same Heavenly Father, the same God with us, that same Word of God that was made flesh, comes in the compassion, all the compassion of heaven, and says, "May I walk with you? Would you give me your hand? Because there's danger ahead, and you're confused, and I'm not here." He's not there to try to say, "Okay, I'm going to set this trap before you, and I'm going to see if I can't snare you." That's not what He's doing. His desire is to see, the devil is the one that sets the snares. His desire is to take us by the hand and lead us around the danger places in our life. This is the Father that we have. This is the one who wants to help you and I today where we live. So we find over here as the word, it says "them." I like to think possibly, if I'm going to put "them" in the Scripture here, they were glad because of "them" when the Word and the Spirit came in all its grandeur and its power and its might and its glory. And we look at that. Well, let's look at the symbolism in this. The wilderness. What is the wilderness and the solitary place? When we think of the wilderness, when I was young and I thought of the wilderness, I was thinking of like a jungle, thinking a lush forest. That's not what this is talking about. When this talks about wilderness, it's talking about a desert area, a broad place of no growth and dryness. And when I look out across the world today, and I see people wandering in unguided places in their life, and not knowing which direction to go, and they're wandering in dry places. They don't have satisfaction. They're thirsty. They don't have the satisfying portion in their life. It is in a place like that where the Word and the Spirit comes to help that soul in that dry place. Now came the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. I believe, I'll just share somehow I felt before I came to the Lord. I felt ruined. I felt hopeless. I felt like there's nothing left. Even if I came to the Lord, there wouldn't be. What would you make out of this mess that I had made? And I can tell you what He did. He began to pour in His essence into my life. And as He began to water, I thought, what beauty could ever come out of that? I can tell you now. You may not see the beauty. I'm just human. I understand that. But I can tell you I've been greatly blessed. I've got a family and children who love me. Just, the blessings that the Lord has created in my life, it's flourished like a rose. It's been precious. And that's what the Lord wants for every one of us. A rose, I don't know, perhaps they didn't have in the Bible time the rose like we think of it today. I don't know what kind. I don't think they had a tea rose back then. I don't think that's what they had in that region, if I'm understanding that right. But they had flowers. They had something of beauty. And this, the prophet is sharing, this is down, there's a day coming down the road that when the Lord will come into that desert place in a man's life and change the way he thinks, change the things that he does, giving purpose, giving hope. There is something then will come out of those ashes, the burned out places in life. There will be that dryness in a man's soul. There will be a blossom. There will be a rose. There will be something beautiful come out of it. Something that will grow, that will glorify the God. Speak of what God Himself has done, but also will bless that man's life. I'm not talking about a pocket full of gold either. I'm talking about the real riches. There's something much greater than the money you have in your pocket. There's something greater. There's something like peace in your soul. That's so much greater than the pocket full of gold. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. Again, I believe this is prophetic language. This is language that the author may have had some symbolism there. You remember what the glory of Lebanon? There were such riches over there. There was the cedars that were given to that first temple. You remember that? Was it Hiram? I think the king over there. He donated labor and the cedars of Lebanon to bring down to the very temple of the first temple worship as that was being built. Solomon, you remember also there was. Folks, the Lord would have us to learn tenderness and caring. You remember there's a reason why David didn't. He wasn't able to build that first temple. He was able to collect some materials, but the Lord said, I'm not going to let you build the temple. Why was it? It was because David was a man of war. There was something about how he conducted himself, and the Lord said, I don't want that tied to my temple. But your son Solomon is going to build this temple. So there were some of the riches, some of the blessings that came out of Lebanon was brought down to build this temple. It was, now we think about the days that we live, the gospel day, which is a superseding, a much greater witness that the Lord, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't we know that down inside of God wants to dwell within our hearts today? And there is such riches that comes down from God out of heaven, yes. Also, there are riches that we can experience here in this life. If we live in such a way that people will see righteousness, how can I say this? If they'll learn to trust you because you're a man that sticks to your word, you're honest, you're true, you're faithful, Do you know what people will do? They'll come to you and put their trust in you. If you're a man of business, you know you're not going to get very much business if you lie to them. But if you bend over backwards and you show kindness and care, this is some of the blessings that's found in the gospel day. Doing it right. Living for the Lord. Putting honesty into your life. In practical application of life. Your wife's going to trust you. And that's a good thing. Your children are going to learn something as they grow up, and they're going to see the value of being honest and true. All the blessings, the good sweet smell of the cedars that come down from Lebanon, the sweet things that come into the temple, this day, this gospel day, is going to be blessed by all the natural things that come along with being godly here in this life. It's a wonderful thing. People can look at you and put their trust and care in each other. I don't want to live in a society, and sadly, it's gravitating toward this more and more, where we all have to have bars on our window and we don't know our neighbors because we haven't learned how to trust, and the devil is isolating us in these little pockets around. God would have us to learn how to love and trust our neighbors. And that comes first with me being that, letting the Lord in this gospel day come and live in our heart. All right, we must hurry on. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. They're going to see what God is doing in these people's lives. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Those who are afraid, those who are finding it difficult, and those who there are different things can cause difficulty in our life. Today I want to, young people, I wish somehow, and children, I wish I could get this just infused into your heart. I want you to know that the devil will come and try to tell you it's hard to live this way. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's really not. Did you know we can love to live this way? It's not that hard. I can tell you, when I was living out on the devil's territory, that was hard. When you wake up and not like who you are, and not like the interaction that you've had with the world around you, or all the things that you'd done, and the guilt that you carried with you. And it's wonderful to have that guilt expunged and wiped away, and you walk a free man. It's wonderful. And it's wonderful to live righteously and godly in this present world. It's wonderful. It's really the most pleasant way. It's not hard. It does require, yes, it requires making decisions. It requires saying, "Yes, Lord." But it's easy when I've made my decision. I want to serve the Lord. So, again, as the prophet was looking down to the gospel day that started, this long day that has started over 2,000 years ago, strengthen the weak knees. Those who are feeling downtrodden or discouraged or difficult in life, and affirm the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees, the wobbly, the feeling tired or feeling worn by life. Folks, I want to tell you, we're always going to, whether you're serving the Lord or not, you're going to have some wearing of life. It'll be difficult. There'll be some difficulties of life. But I want to strengthen your weak hands and the feeble knees, the difficult. I want to encourage you to stay walking with the Lord. Give your time and effort to the Lord. Say to them that are of a fearing heart, "Be strong. Fear not. Behold, our God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." As we start thinking about it, I'm going to say the Lord's going to come with vengeance and with recompense, and He's going to save you. And that's exactly right. Sometimes in our mind it gets interpreted as this. Well, this neighbor that's been irritating me, the Lord's going to come, He's going to fix him. Yeah, it's going to come, it's going to happen. Or it gets interpreted in a carnal way. You know what the Lord's really after? He's after those things that disturb your soul. Those things that, those attitudes that begin to build in my heart. That anger that arises, He'll come and give us that tap on our shoulder and say, "Child, don't let that in the door. Walk away from that. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. I want to teach you how to say, Father, forgive them." The Lord wants to teach us how to walk in His ways for His name's sake. The Lord would like to do that. And it talks here about, where was I? Oh, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The Lord hates anything that would come to disturb your soul's peace. Anything that would come and turn us away from clean and healthy relationship with the Lord. Folks, it was out of human rebellion. It was out of rebellion against God. That's the reason why that walking together in the cool of the day in the Garden of Eden during that time, that communion that God had with His creation was damaged, because they disobeyed, they rebelled against God and went away. And I want to tell you, when we let that in our lives, if we embrace that rebellion or disregard of God's counsel, it starts causing a wedge to be driven between us and the Lord. And we'll not have that sweet communion that we had once upon a time. And this is what I want to encourage each one of us to gain and preserve. This communion, this personal walk with the Lord. When you go home and when you apply this in your tomorrows, when you're confronted with those moments that irritate your soul, next time somebody cuts you off in traffic, I'm gonna get it down where the rubber meets the road. I'm talking about where we live. Those places that we experience in life, we have a choice at that moment to let the anger build and have bitterness arise, and it'll grow and it'll fester and it will cause trouble in my life. It won't cause peace. What that does will cause there to be a dryness in my world. It'll cause, it won't be blooming, blossoming like the rose. It'll be blooming, but it'll be bringing forth a fruit that's not good. And the Lord in His mercy is calling to us, walk with me. Take my yoke. Learn of me. Apply it in my life today and how I treat you. You know, we are interconnected as a family. Not just a congregation, but as human, the family of humanity. Remember what Cain said when God come and said, "Where's your brother?" And what is his flippant answer? "Am I my brother's keeper? It's his job. Take." But yes, the answer to that question, actually, we are our brother's keeper. I have a responsibility to you, and you have a responsibility to me. And I can tell you, the devil wants to get right down here in this part of us and cause there to be a dryness, cause there to be a disregard of my fellow man. I don't like that. I like I like to be able to go downtown and give somebody a genuine smile. I like for them to feel the warmth. I want them to see Christ in us. I want them to see hope. I want the man who feels like, Brother Doug was praying this morning, Lord, help those who are contemplating suicide, help them today, Lord. I agree with that prayer. Sometimes the very help that God wants to get to them is for you and I to be genuine before them and look at them and smile. And sometimes that opens up a door, a conversation with them. Oh, Lord, help us. I've had moments of great regret. A man that I went to school with, knew well, lived down the road 3/4 mile. He had a real alcohol problem, and it stole so much in his life. He was living alone, and his family didn't like to come see him. It was a horrible thing. I cared about him. We had good times. In fact, he had been by the shop, and we had conversations, and he'd laughed, and it wasn't within about 2 weeks that he'd taken his life just down the road. And I said, Lord, why didn't he say something? Or why didn't... Lord, help us to know how to reach out and give hope to the world around us. If I'd have known that was going through his mind, I think I would have opened up and said, Randy, why? You know, what's going on? Can we help you? Sadly, so many times when people are in that state of life, they don't open up. But please, folks, if there's anybody that we know of or anybody here under the sound of my voice, if you're wrestling, please open up. Give the Lord a chance to heal those broken places and give hope. It's not His will that any should perish. That's not His will. And it's not my will either. No. Along with that, but I'm asking in our human interaction in this gospel day, the very love that has bought us and brought us to Christ and changed our lives, may it be perpetuated with the same Spirit. Let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who's willing to give of Himself. Lord, help us to do the same with the same genuineness and love to people around us, that they might see something more than dryness, than a desert place, a hopeless place. That there might be something we have to give to people. Real, something real. Then it goes on, talks about He will come and save. That God, even God, will recompense. He'll put His hand against those things that harm you. He'll point out those things that are the path that maybe somebody is taking that is going to harm you. And He'll point that out and give us cautions. And if we come away from that, He will come and save us. He comes to wreak vengeance upon those things that harm His children. He doesn't want us to be damaged by the world, the evil things around. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, will be able to see more clearly. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, will be able to understand. The Lord wants us to hear His voice, to understand, to interpret, to recognize what He's saying to me. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Those broken places in a man's life, those places he didn't know how to walk free from before, those places that have been so damaging, so enslaving, so impossible to conquer, places that he can't get over, that lame, that broken place. I want to tell you here today, I know what the devil tries to do to all of us. He'll try to get us in a place that we feel like it's impossible to move beyond where I am today. But the Word that comes down, the God, the Emmanuel, the Jesus, the Christ, who comes down from heaven, speaks a different tone to us and says, there is hope, there is help, there is salvation in Christ. There's something that God brings to every one of us if we'll let Him. He brings it to us that we might fly free, that the lame may walk. Now, all this came about. Some of it, this came about physically. It happened when Jesus came here. Lame people walked. Blind people could see. Physically that happened. And that's wonderful. That had to have been. That spoke something to the people who saw that. Jesus, amazing, think of this. There was a man so crippled that he couldn't get out of his bed. And friends took him. And you look into the disease, it could have been a disease that perhaps came upon him because of his lifestyle. You read into it, I don't know, because I wasn't there, but there's some people have read into that perhaps that man was so broken in his body because of his own lifestyle. And here he was, called sick of the palsy. And his friends brought him to Jesus. And it's wonderful when we see the hand of the Lord touching and healing people, blind eyes open, crippled legs stand up and walk. And it's wonderful to see all that. But I think the greatest thing that man received that day was when he heard Jesus say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." What tremendous words to a burdened heart. What tremendous words to... And the only thing I could do is describe how I felt. I felt so crushed and hopeless before I came to Him. But the moment that He claimed me as His own, the weight fell off my shoulders. To know that all is well, that the soul was clean, that I didn't have to hang my head, I wasn't guilty any longer. It's a tremendous feeling. Jesus not only said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," but He said to prove, because the other spiritual leaders, and they heard Him say that. They said, "That's blasphemy. Why? How can somebody say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee'?" And Jesus said, "That you might know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins." He said, He turned to the man and said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the man did it. He walked free. The lame legs were made whole. But the lame that he had inside was the greatest healing that he had. He walked away knowing all is well. It is true that Jesus died on Calvary. But it's every bit the same amount of truth that He rose again and is alive today. And He hadn't changed. He loves us and is interested in helping. In this gospel day, He's interested in taking places that... And if you're saved here today, please be humble enough to say, if we have a broken place, we have some place that needs some healing, acknowledge that I've got some brokenness. It's okay. What's not okay is for us to go ahead and act like everything is all right and go on limping when God wants us to be made whole. That's what's not all right. Oh, humility, thou secret veil, thou angel of the sky, if I may ever dwell with thee, my soul shall never die. God, help us to be humble enough, to be real enough in my soul before the Lord, to acknowledge if I've got places that need help. Doesn't mean we're unsaved when we need help. It just means I need help. Sometimes we do need to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I've done something wrong. Please forgive and restore and help." That's okay. God wants us to do that, but God wants to restore and heal and bring wholeness in our lives and keep us on that way. We can be kept on that path, that righteous path of following the Lord. "Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out,
in the wilderness, in those dry places, in a life that's parched. In that place, when the Lord comes, the tongue of the dumb will sing, "Thank the Lord. For in the wilderness shall the waters break out," and there'll be streams in those desert places. There'll be something wherever the water of life. There's another place, and I'm just going to reference it because I won't turn there. But it talks about this river that comes down from the throne of God, and as it flowed out, it went beside the trees on both sides. It was for the healing of the nations. It caused life. It caused health. Wherever the water that comes from the throne of God, wherever that touches in a life, it causes there to be an oasis. It causes there to be life and growth and health in your spiritual body. Physical too, it'll help that. But the greatest thing the Lord's interested in is our soul. The parched ground shall become a pool, a thirsty land, springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, I don't know what that is, where each lay, but it sounds like in the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. It sounds like he's describing something. I don't know. It could have been perhaps I don't know what that was in that region, but it could have been perhaps I don't know. I think any animal that's down along the streams or grass and things grow, perhaps I've seen animals wallow down and break and destroy. And I don't know what all he's talking about here. But let's take it spiritually. There's a lot of things the devil would like to have in our lives that would burn up the good, that would trample down the valuable things in our life. You ever notice that? You remember last Sunday, did we talk about Samson? Remember what they did when they got Samson in their control? Remember what they did? Put out his eyes. What a horrible thing. The devil comes to trample down good in our lives, to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he comes for. But Jesus said, "I am come that you might have life, and you might have that more abundantly." And when we think about the abundant life, don't think about how well your business is going to go now. Think about how well your soul is going to live. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And the parched ground shall become a pool, thirsty land, springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. It's going to grow up lush again because that thing that used to damage has been cut off, has been pushed away, has been done away with. Eighth verse now. And an highway shall be there. Again, I believe the prophet is looking down through the annals of time, looking to this gospel day. And he said, and a highway shall be there, and a way. You know, today, yes, I say praise the Lord. When I'm looking at this scripture, my soul begins to be excited thinking about that. Something that God Himself has prepared for this generation, for this world we live in today. And what it means to you and I think of a highway shall be there and a way. And I think of how, you know, we have all different kind of variations of churches today. Different doctrines, different theologies. And I'll tell you that I do believe theology and doctrine is important. You know what's the greatest importance? Come in at the door. Be saved. Follow the Lord with all your heart. Love God with all your heart. Love your fellow man. Pursue after Christ. Love Him. Honor Him. I believe, in some of my interactions with people that don't come to this chapel, I believe I found some out there that love God with all their heart. Now, I might sit down beside him and say, "Brother, I don't think
what you're believing is exactly right. But if I'm going to see a hunger and thirst after righteousness in their life, and when I pray with them and I hear their appeal to their Father, in the same way that I appeal to my Lord, and I see the tenderness in their heart, the hunger for righteousness, I'm going to say, brother, let's live for the Lord together. Let's walk together. And we find Scripture, we'll discuss it, but let's seek the Lord in the matter. Folks, we've got to seek the Lord in the matter today, still. Listen to me now. I'm not here to try to say we need to change doctrine. But I'm here to say, let's look into the Scripture. Let's seek where the Lord walks. Let's walk where the Lord walks. Let's follow after Him. And a highway shall be there. And there shall be a way. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. That's what it'll be called. People outside will look on it and say, that's the right way. That's it. Even if they, at that moment, they hardly want to walk there because they're so entangled with other things in life. But they'll say, if I ever want to walk with the Lord, that's it. I want to. You see, this way transcends all human ideas. It just stands above. God calls us up to His righteous ways. God wants us to seek to walk. This is a cast up way. It's not down in the marshy ideas of mankind, but it's above that. He calls us, come up, listen to my voice. Let me teach you how to walk in my righteous ways. Let me lead you in a path that is good and right. And highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. We should never turn away from saying to the world or to ourselves and to the devil, I want to walk in holiness with the Lord. Is that okay? It's in the Scripture. It's in the Scripture. God calls us to His holy way. And I know when we wrestle sometimes with our humanity, the devil would like to get us to feeling like there's no way we could ever walk with the Lord. But did you know, just as we do with our children, if our children were going along in life and they're growing, and sometimes they don't always sweep the floor like I told them to, we don't say, all right, you're done. You're not my child. That's not what we do, is it? But we take that child and we teach him how to do it. We have some mercy. And I want to tell you today, the Lord has mercy on you and I as we grow in Him. We should have a heart holy and pure, completely dedicated to the Lord. But the Lord teaches us how to walk in that way. And mercifully, He guides us and enriches us and empowers us by His Word and His Spirit. Both of them. These empowering forces in our life. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the people that have passed through. People that are coming through, that this person's not a Jew. He's coming through here. He might be an Ishmaelite, and he's coming through, but he heard and he saw and said, can I be part of this? This way, spiritually now, I'm talking about, there are people that haven't been exposed perhaps to much of what you and I have been exposed to, but they come through and say, can I have some? Of course! Of course! It'll be for that person. It is pouring out. God Himself is pouring out toward whosoever will let him come. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. A fool? You mean he doesn't have to understand all the intricacies of the Trinity? You mean he doesn't have to understand everything about baptism? You mean he doesn't have to understand what sanctification means? Do you mean he doesn't have to understand all these? He doesn't have to. He has to know that he needs God and wants the Lord. The Lord takes that person, that wayfaring man, the fool, the one that steps over in the corner and says, "I'm just a publican," and beats on his chest and says, "Have mercy on me." It was Jesus is the one that gave us that story. Jesus is the one that said there was a man who was well learned, and he had done everything so very well, and he stood up in the middle of the synagogue and he said, "I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this person over here. I do so much for you. I fast and I give and I've done all these mighty works. And I'm grateful, Lord, that I'm not like this guy." And he praised himself. And the man over there just said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord. If I can just get in the corner here. I feel so dry and broken. I can't move from it. And I can't even lift up my face to you." And Jesus said, and he appealed to their reason. He said, "Which one went home? Which one went home justified?" And I believe all of them knew the answer. It was the man who beat on his chest. He said, "I'm broken and I need help." That's still the same Jesus that lives today. And he says, the highway will be there. There will be one that's set up sure footing that we can walk steady. It's like a rock. This isn't down in the mire and confusion of humanity. This is the solid rock, Christ Jesus. And it's above. And we can walk on it. The fool won't have to err. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. You know, we're walking on this highway of holiness and walking before the Lord in humility and trueness of heart. There's no place for us to bite and devour. Not a place. I said, the ravenous beast, the lion's not going to be there, or the bear that rips and tears. That's not going to be where they be. That's not where they are. God wants us to be the type of person who, even though we see perhaps a brother that's gotten in trouble, he would have us to be one that reaches over there while he's broken and beaten because the devil's been mean to him. Reach over there and grab him by the arm and say, "Brother, let me take you in my arms and carry you a while. Because I want you to live. I want you to make it." Folks, we're intertwined. We're humans. And here I hope we can recognize we're brothers and sisters in here. And I want to put my arm around yours, and I want to link up and say, let's climb higher. Let's live for the Lord. Let's turn away from the things that's degrading and damaging to our soul. Let's turn toward the Lord with all of our heart. Let's walk. And if I'm limping, I'm going to need you holding me up. And if you're limping, I want to be able to hold you up too. Don't want to bite and devour. Don't want to spread gossipy stories that would crush you. There's all other ways. But I want us to live for the Lord. To live. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, But the redeemed shall walk there. Thank the Lord. Oh, Jesus came to redeem. Thank the Lord. The redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Now let me put some balance on those last few words. It says that Jesus was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. There's nothing evil with feeling some sorrow and some of those things once in a while in life. And I want to tell you, I know it, those of you who have lost loved ones, you feel that grief. But we have a certain hope still in our soul. We have something that transcends the immediate hurt that we have. That's all part of. But we have an assurance in our soul that goes beyond the pain that we suffer. I know that. I know when my mother died in the house fire, I can tell you that it took my joy for a while. It took my song. Things happened. But that didn't mean it took the peace in my soul. Still had that. I was wrestling with the natural grief. But there, let me tell you what happens when the Lord begins to build again something, this reality, this peace that begins to pervade and it begins to push out. It's kind of like this when the Bible says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" It's not that there's not some sting, but there is victory. There's something greater that overshadows and begins to wash away that pain. I'm not saying it always comes instantaneously. It doesn't, folks. It doesn't come instantaneously. Not normally, anyway. If God gave you victory over some of that instantaneous, I say, thank God. I'm glad you got that. But it's been my experience, grief. You go through it. But the Lord's walking there with us. So the sorrow and sighing, it didn't say it wouldn't be there, but it'll flee away. It'll be overcome by the presence of our Lord. No lion will be there. The ransomed, though, they'll be there. The redeemed, they'll be there. And the joy of the Lord will be there. And the peace of the soul will be there. And the sorrow that used to make me not want to live, I'm talking about when I was out on the devil's territory, that type that was oppressive, that crushing, that guilt that was always there, that sorrow fled away when the God of heaven came and took me. I thank the Lord for the gospel. I thank the Lord for what Brother Isaiah shared with us. And I don't know what it would be like. I wonder what it would be like if we can be faithful until the end. I wonder what it's going to be like to sit down with him sometime in that other place and say, "Brother Isaiah, what were you seeing when you penned that?" Will it make any difference at that point? I don't know. We may not even have those questions on our mind then. But we got all eternity to share it. And I'm so thankful that you and I today can participate in this vision of the gospel day, where the dry places in our lives can be watered by the gospel, by the touch of the Lord, and life can come where death used to reign, where hope can bloom and arise, where it seemed like the dragons had taken over and squashed out life. Hope comes up again, and purpose, and the rose begins to bud and bloom and gives off its aroma, smells good. I look at it and I'm pleased. I look over there and see what the Lord is doing. And when I see you walking with the Lord, And I see the Lord doing things in your life. And it looks like that rose is budding. I am thrilled. It thrills my soul to see you prosper in the Lord. And I hope it thrills your soul if you can see me prospering in the Lord. That we might could grow together and walk together in this way of holiness. I want to serve the Lord. Pray for me. And I want to encourage you not to be discouraged. Not to feel like that. Oh, the devil will try to say you've tried to get victory so many times before and you failed. Don't accept failure. Don't have to. The dry places can be watered. The dry places can come to life. The roses can bud. Pray for me. I want to serve the Lord.